your team developed a forecasting tool for fishers to use when trying to avoid Atlantic sturgeon. Can you just first, Matt Breese, give us a little bit of background? What is this fish and why would fishers need to avoid it?
Yeah, so Atlantic sturgeon are a really large kind of mysterious fish, especially here in Delaware. They're where caviar comes from. So originally they were fished out in the late 1800s, early 1900s for this caviar fishery in the Delaware River. And the Delaware River was the largest fishery for Atlantic sturgeon on the whole East Coast before that overfishing event, and then subsequent poor water quality kept them from recovering, the population recovering. So we do have a few around Delaware and in the Delaware Bay and Delaware River seasonally. And a lot of people don't know about that, so they're pretty cool.
When you say a few, is this like a handful?
So yeah, there's the current population estimates for the actual Delaware River population are pretty poor. We're thinking less than 300 spawning adults every year. Now that changes as you move from the river out into the mouth of the Delaware Bay and along the coast, because we have a lot of Atlantic sturgeon from populations up and down the East Coast that were spawned in other rivers, come and hang out in the mouth of the Delaware Bay. So we could have, you know, thousands of individuals that occur in the Delaware Bay every summer that aren't necessarily from the Delaware River.
And when commercial fishers are out and there's a risk of disturbing sturgeon, is this like bycatch, or is this like just the presence of a fishing boat in the area would disturb the sturgeon?
Yeah, the main concern is bycatch and harm to them in gillnet fisheries, especially in the Delaware Bay.
Okay, so Matt Breese, how does this forecasting tool work for a fisher?
Okay, so if you're a fisherman, you would get a text message or an email to your phone, and in that phone we do a, it's almost like a tweet, right? We limited the number of characters to as few as possible so that it can come out in a clear, concise message. And in that, it'll tell the fisherman what section of the bay and what the depth range is where sturgeon are either at medium level of risk occurrence or a high level of risk occurrence. So if it's low level, they won't even get a text at all. They don't have to worry about it. But if they have a medium threat or a high threat, they'll get a message, and they'll get a message where that threat is, with also a map for when that showing where those areas are, you know, in a visual form, and then also a link to our forecasting tool where they can dig into some more information if they need to.
And Matt Oliver, what kind of data is this system built on? Like, how do you guys know where the sturgeon might be?
So the sturgeon forecast tool is dependent on two main data sources. One is historic acoustic telemetry observations of Atlantic sturgeon that we've been recording with our partners at Delaware State University for many years. We've partnered with them on that research. And that is a series of essentially buoys that are out in the water, and then sturgeon that have been telemetered with an acoustic tag. So when a fish swims by the buoy, you know exactly where it is. So we had 5 or 6 years of that information, and we combined that with satellite observations from a satellite receiving station at the University of Delaware, where we track multiple satellites from NASA and from NOAA. And that satellite data comes in every day, and we take that and we understand the relationship between that satellite information, both the temperature of the bay and also how cloudy and how turbid the bay is. And we relate that to our understanding of where the fish are. And based on that, we can make a very accurate prediction of where these fish are gonna be.
So a few years ago, we covered the first iteration of the Text Alert tool. Matt Breese, what has changed about the tool since then?
So we've incorporated a good bit of new data into the forecasting tool. We added, the original forecasting tool was based solely on NASA satellites. We added NOAA satellites into the tool as well to get a more clear, better picture, and also to increase the longevity of the tool going forward. So the NASA satellites have been out for a couple decades now, and they're kind of at the end of life, but the NOAA satellites are new. So we want to make that transition into the new satellites so this tool can be out long-term. We've also took some suggestions from the fishermen of how they would like to receive the text messages and the information, so that we can give them the data on a more timely manner without actually over spamming them with our messages to them.
And how widely do you think this tool is being used?
It's always a little bit hard to know how often sort of a free service like this is being used. You know, you can track hits, or you can do those kinds of things. But there's not that many fishers on the bay that actually fish the bay that much. And so we know, just talking with our partners, that there was a fair number of fishers using it for a while. We do know that when the pandemic hit, the location of sturgeon in the bay was not their major concern anymore. There was a lot of folks really hit with severe economic hardships. And so we turned the text messaging off. The model was still running if people wanted to use it. We haven't seen a pickup yet after the pandemic. We think that will increase in the future. But we also are looking to new users of the tool. We know that we're going to have quite a bit of wind power development out here in the coastal ocean, and they also have to account for the location of the Atlantic sturgeon. And so we've been in conversations with industry groups about this tool in different places. And so we think that ecosystem forecasting like this, specifically in this area, we're going to get a lot more traction with folks as construction starts and things like that. So I think overall, our user base is going to go up.
And is this a model that could be used for other marine species that are endangered?
Absolutely. And I think this project overall had two really big things going for it. Number one is that we had a lot of satellite data in this region. And the second thing is that because the Atlantic sturgeon was endangered, there are quite a few historical studies that had been funded in the region. So we knew quite a bit about the species, about where they might be, and how to relate those observations of where the fish are to the environment. So there are other forecasting tools that are out there for species that you have lots of information for, like sea turtles, things like that. But there are also a lot of species what we don't have a lot of information for. And so I would say the limiting factor here is not necessarily the availability of satellite data, because that seems to be going fairly strong, but it's going to be getting the information that we want for other species of concern or other commercial species that we might be interested in. But certainly the work that we've done here, I think, is definitely a model for how we can deal with species, especially highly migratory species like the Atlantic sturgeon. So other ones, I mean, almost all the species that we have here in Delaware are highly migratory because the temperature range changes so much. So we think it's a really nice model for moving forward.
Matthew Brees and Matthew Oliver of UD's College of Earth, Ocean, and Environment, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.